Who is the biggest winner at the tight end position so far in free agency? All that and more in this episode of the Locked On Dynasty Football Podcast.
You are Locked On Dynasty Football, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Marcus Mosher and Kate Madjuk.
Welcome back to the Locked On Dynasty Football Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. We'd like to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. This episode of Locked On Dynasty is brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. The Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. I am Marcus Mosher. You can follow me on Twitter at Marcus_Mosher. Joining me today, as always, is Kate Madjuk. You can follow her on Twitter at Kate Madjuk. Kate, we're talking tight ends today. Let's start with this. The biggest winner at the tight end position this offseason is...
the only guy who hasn't signed yet. It's Dalton Schultz. I'm still anxiously awaiting. That was the tight end name that I have been like chomping at the freaking bit to hear more about. In terms of guys that like are actually, you know, playing and they have contracts and all that good stuff, I have to say, Marcus, I really like the move of the New York Giants to trade for Darren Waller. And if he stays healthy, that lack of competition for targets, he's essentially functioning as this team's wide receiver one. Like, not a ton of questions about that. Like, no more is Devontae Adams going to be eking out targets. Like, this is the Darren Waller show, I think, as long as he's healthy. That's been a big
thing,
if.
Right?
But like, is there any tight end whose value has fallen in Dynasty right now that could be a better asset for a win now team? I don't think so.
Yeah, let's talk about that value, because currently on Dynasty League Football, he's being ranked as tight end 9. He's actually being drafted a little bit lower than that. What's crazy to me, and this is the injury stuff baked in, any week that he's healthy, right, and playing, we're going to rank him as the top six tight end, right? And that's what's awesome about this. There's a lot of value here. I'm curious to see how Brian Daboll uses him, because under John Gruden, the Raiders used him in the slot, and that's where he got all of his targets. Josh McDaniels did something similar when he was on the field, but this is one of the premier pass-catching tight ends in the league who should get a ridiculous target share in New York.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really interesting fit. And Marcus, like, I think what you mentioned there, like, as any time he's actually been on the field, right? Like, you do rank him inside the top five. What I think is super interesting is the names going around him. Like, all of the guys behind him, purely speculative, honestly, like being drafted at tight end 11, Greg Dulcich. Tight end 12, Cole Kmet, who now, like, I again like the tight end, but I think has been super super well hyped. Dalton Schultz, we know, is my guy. I'll take Dalton Schultz over Darren Waller. I'm sorry, but then Dalton Kincaid, Michael Mayer, who, like, these are all rookie tight ends who we know are not going to, they're not going to produce for fantasy a long time. Like, Chigazem Okonkwo, Trey McBride, Juwan Johnson, like, those are the names going at, like, Darren. There's such a clear tier break after Darren Waller, and it's just wild, because, you know, at least for the next, like, 1-2 years, you're gonna get a tight end one when he's playing.
I agree. I still think now is the time to buy Darren Waller, because when he plays, you can bet on him to get 8 to 9 targets a game. And there's just not that many tight ends out there that we can say that about. So I agree with you. I think Darren Waller now in a less crowded offense is one of the biggest winners. Now, I do want to ask you about another tight end that we saw switch teams. I believe it was yesterday or 2 days ago. Hayden Hurst left the Cincinnati Bengals, joined the Carolina Panthers, who already have a million tight ends, including my guy, Tommy Tremble. Ian Thomas, we saw, took a pay cut. how much does landing in Carolina hurt Hayden Hurst's value?
I actually think it could help. Like one of the best, indicators of a breakout tight end, right? Like in Hayden Hurst, he's like an old man. He's 29 years old. He's not that much younger than the aforementioned Darren Waller. But like one of the things that I look at when I'm trying to maybe identify some of these breakout tight ends are, you know, these absences in receiving cores, right? Like there is no team right now that has a worse receiving core than the Carolina Panthers, like without a doubt. Yeah. Hayden Hurst, like Ian Thomas, we know that blocking, that's his role. Mm-hmm. I do think that Hayden Hurst is going to have to run. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a career high in route participation with the team, the needs that this team has. Like, would you be surprised if he led the team in targets? Because I really wouldn't.
No, I probably wouldn't either. It's just, I don't know how.
They're not valuable targets, but.
They're not valuable targets. Yeah, and that's what makes me a little bit nervous. Now, I do think there's some value here. Being ranked as tight end 30 on Dynasty League Football, like, yeah, that's
too low.
That's too low. But I also don't know if the move to Carolina makes him fantasy relevant either. Like, I'm not going to feel great ever about starting Hayden Hurst just because we know the quarterback situation is likely to be pretty poor in year one, and you're going from Burrow to probably CJ Stroud or Andy Dalton. I'm just not all excited about it, Kate. That's all.
I get not being excited, but I do think, like, again, when we're looking at potential values, right? Like in terms of what he might be, like he's a former first round pick, right? We've seen, I think like not a tremendous upside for receiving, but two of the last three seasons has had 500 plus receiving yards. They had six touchdowns when he was in Atlanta in his first season. Like, he's not been great, and, you know, pass blocking has not been his suit. So, like, again, from an opportunity standpoint, I think it's really hard. And again, like, we can talk all day about, like, what does this opportunity with this specific team mean? It could mean that he's the primary target for a guy with stunning accuracy like CJ Stroud.
Yep.
And, like, if CJ Stroud's the one throwing the ball, then, like, yeah, I'll take a shot on Hayden Hurst, who maybe, you know, maybe we see a dip in the yards per reception. Maybe, you know, there's not an incredible efficiency, but the volume could probably be there. And if you're in, like, let's say a tight end premium league, I'll take a flyer on this dude. Like, why the hell? Like, what, you have literally nothing to lose by buying into Hayden Hurst at this point. And you have everything to gain because, like, tight end, the threshold for tight end productivity is so, so freaking low.
Yeah. Okay. We also saw one of the league's best receiving tight ends move teams on Friday. Let's talk about that one next. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. The Built March Madness bracket is here. And we all know that you have your favorite bar or puff. And now it's your time to make it count. Go to builtmarchmadness.com to vote for your favorites. I mean, listen, you know that my favorite is the cookie dough bar. It's absolutely fantastic. And if you want your favorite sports team to win, because you can bet for your sports team on there, you'll be voting for that bar too. Support your team, support your bar or puff. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built Bars. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built Bar to have the best Built Bars delivered directly to your door every single month. You've got to try Built Bars, the absolute best tasting protein bar on the market right now. They're so amazing. You're not even going to know that they're healthy for you. Covered in 100% real chocolate, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 17 grams of protein. Absolutely fantastic. So run to builtmarchmadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March. So hop on and support your pick. All right, Kate, on Friday morning, early Friday morning, we got some news that Mike Gesicki, formerly of the Dolphins, signed a one-year, $9 million deal with the New England Patriots. I just want to know your initial reactions when you heard the news.
New England loves paying tight ends. Like, they are running like a tight end charity. I don't know. Like, I'm kind of just, I don't get it. I don't get it, Marcus. I don't really think this is a move that makes a ton of sense for like a defensive minded team that we know loves to run the ball. Like, what sense does Mike Gesicki make for this team when, like, we know that Mike Gesicki is a really big wide receiver? Like, he plays out of the slot. He'll play out wide. Like, doesn't bring anything in terms of like the blocking game. Nope. It just feels like a really curious fit. Like, if I'm the Patriots and I want to go get a tight end that I think has, you know, maybe some more like value in the diversity of his game, like, I would have been targeting Dalton Schultz. Like, you already have Hunter Henry, who's
not a blocker.
Like,
you traded Jonnu Smith, who was your blocking tight end.
Like, what are they doing with the tight end? I don't know. And I don't want to buy into it because I think, like, they don't have a clear, at least it's not clear to me, what their intention is for how this offense is going to work.
The hard part with the Patriots is because they had so much success with Rob Gronkowski and the tight end that will not be named, you always have that in the back of your mind, right? Like, okay, hey, could this be that next duo? Could they be the ones that figure out how to get these tight ends a ton of receptions? But we've been duped the last basically 5-6 years, right? When they drafted, was it Dalton Keene and Devin Asiasi in the, I think it was the third round. Everybody thought those guys were going to be awesome. They signed Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith in free agency in 2020. And everybody thought that was going to be the big move. Hey, they're shifting their offense to be tight end centric. And it didn't happen. I don't know. It's a very curious fit because Gesicki is a pure receiver. And it does feel like maybe that's a guy that Mac Jones could use. I just don't trust him to be a consistent part of the offense at all.
It just, like, again, it just feels like I get trading away Jonnu Smith. I think that's fine. Like, he didn't work out the way that they thought. But he still offered something that they haven't found elsewhere in this market. Like, you know, I would have loved, this is like going to sound totally unhinged, so bear with me, Marcus. Like, my hope for Mike Gesicki was that he was going to go to the Giants and, like, instead of building their offense on a bunch of wide receivers in this barren free agency class and this crappy, there's lots of talent at the wide receiver position in this draft, but there's no true wide receiver one. Like,
sure.
This is not the classes that we've had in recent years. So, like, I was hoping that he would go to the Giants and they'd have this magic loophole where they just entirely focus on the tight end position as their receivers. And that's their block around free agency. I thought that would have been brilliant.
I was hoping that he was going to land with like a veteran quarterback or like somebody that could actually use him down the seam. Like, I was really hoping he was going to be the guy that replaced Hayden Hurst in Cincinnati, right? And now you get a field stretcher with Joe Burrow, or he goes to the Chargers and Justin Herbert's just throwing him seam ball after seam ball. But instead, he goes to one of the most bland and boring offenses in the league. And I can see, Kate, how I can see why the Patriots did this, right? They need to be a little bit more explosive on offense, and that gives them another weapon. But in terms of like fantasy impact and dynasty impact, I don't see it. I just don't see it at all.
I don't see it. How do you feel like this impacts Hunter Henry? Maybe that's the better question. Because I do think Hunter Henry, generally speaking, like he's been an all right fantasy asset.
I feel like it just clips their value, both of them, where we had, these are two guys that were being ranked somewhere between tight end 15 and tight end 20. And now we have just two guys who are going to be completely unusable week to week.
Bummer.
Welcome to the tight end position.
I hate the tight end. I love it because when you hit, when your sleeper tight end finally hits, boy, does that feel good. But in between those hits, Marcus, the tight end position does not feel so cozy.
Yeah. I do want to ask you about one other tight end that got moved really quickly. We saw Jonnu Smith get traded away from the Patriots to the Falcons for a late day three pick. Does that concern you at all if you're Kyle Pitts owner? Because I think it's pretty established now that Jonnu Smith is not a fantasy relevant tight end, but does this knock Pitts at all for you?
I don't think so. Like more philosophically than anything. It's like a question. I understand that Jonnu Smith, I think, brings something different to the game than Kyle Pitts does, right? Like if you want to use Kyle Pitts as a pure receiving tight end, which like maybe that's what they want, then I guess this move makes sense. If you want, you know, Jonnu to be in line and just observe that pure tight end role where he's doing a lot of the dirty work, a lot of the blocking, then maybe this makes sense. But when you pair it with some of Arthur Smith's previous comments, like this isn't fantasy, blah, blah, blah. It, like, I feel like you wouldn't have said that if you wanted Kyle Pitts out there running route after route after route. So again, I'm confused.
I don't think it hurts Kyle Pitts, his value. I think what hurts Kyle Pitts' value is Taylor Heinicke and Desmond Ridder, right? Just being, I mean, we kind of know what Heinicke is, but he's not somebody who's going to add value to your playmakers. I don't know, Kate. I listen, you know, I'm Kyle Pitts' number one truther, but I got to be honest. I'm a little bit nervous. I want to ask you about two tight ends who are still free agents as of Friday morning. 10:30 Eastern time when we get back. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That is bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from money line to point scores and three-pointers drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss a chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 back in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That is FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, Kate, let's talk about some free agents still at the tight end position. You actually mentioned one at the top. Dalton Schultz, where would you like to see him land?
Obviously it's the Chargers, Marcus. Yeah. It's still a glaring need, right? It's still a huge, huge glaring need. It feels like we've just been spinning our wheels here and with the Chargers, whether that be San Diego or otherwise, like we're trying to find the next tight end for Justin Herbert to utilize. I feel like the need for a capable receiving tight end is amplified even more with the knowledge that the team's given Austin Eckler permission to seek a trade. Like you have an aging Keenan Allen. We need to start thinking ahead before all of a sudden Eckler's gone. You can't rely on Keenan Allen to stay healthy. Like suddenly you realize like Mike Williams can't rely on him to like suddenly your superstar quarterback, your franchise guy has no one to throw to. And I do think, I mean, it's really hard to think of a tight end that's been more reliable than Dalton Schultz for fantasy, especially over the last two seasons, 17 top 12 weeks. Like, do you know how hard that is to find at the tight end position? 17 top 12 weeks. And I don't know, it just feels like we're not
valuing him that way.
No, why not? Like, why is Dalton Schultz being valued and drafted around the likes of Dalton Kincaid?
Well,
Dalton, guys.
I think the problem is that people don't view him, rightly so, in the tier of Mark Andrews, Kyle Pitts, Travis Kelce, TJ Hockenson, George Kittle, Dallas Goedert. Like, he's pretty, you know, clearly out of that tier, right? He's not as athletic as a few of those guys. He's not as dynamic. And then when you go to the next tier, Pat Freiermuth, David Njoku. You know, he's older than those guys. He's not quite as dynamic as David Njoku. So he's in the next tier of tight end, and that kind of gets in the wasteland of tight end, right? And we're just not sure where that guy, you know, where he lands. And I think where he ends up is going to be very important for his dynasty value. But I've got a spicy take for you on where I would like to see him land. You ready?
Okay.
The Dallas Cowboys. We already know.
I wanted that from the beginning. And Marcus Mosier, my favorite Cowboys analyst, said no way.
I don't think a few weeks ago it was all that likely, right? Because I think Dalton Schultz turned down a deal of like $12 million a year from the Cowboys. But now that we're getting further along in free agency and teams are spending up their money, and we saw Hayden Hurst get like $6.5 million a year, Mike Gesicki got a 1-year deal worth up to $9 million. Maybe the market's just cooled a little bit, and maybe the Cowboys come back to Schultz and be like, you know what? Hey, here's 3 years, $30 million. Come back to Dallas. If that's the case, Kate, we're now talking about one of the biggest values in Dynasty because we know exactly what he provides.
I feel like we already know exactly what he provides, though. And like, go buy him now before he has a surge in his value. Yep. Like, you know, you mentioned like David Njoku, who, yes, more young, more explosive. Like, he's the better athlete. But like, you talk about a guy who's like largely disappeared, had a great 2022 season. Guess what? He had 7 games where he finished as a tight end one. You know who also had 7 games as a tight end one? Dalton Schultz. And he's also been providing stability at that position for the previous 3 years. He's been a tight end one in each of the last 3 seasons.
Yep.
I just
yep.
like I this I'm actually gonna go after we hang up here, Marcus, I'm gonna go and make an offer, because if that's how the public is thinking about Dalton Schultz, great. Give me all of the Dalton Schultz, because I think he brings a lot to like a real NFL team in terms of his value at the position. But like, for your fantasy teams, 2022, right? He finishes the tight end 10 in 15 games played, ranks 6th in air yards among the tight end position, 7th in targets, 10th in receiving yards, like 9th in PPR points per game. That is production I want on my roster. Yep, and if we're going to be, you know, pairing that up with, you know, the likes of Michael Mayer, who's not going to help me win until probably the year like 2028, like, give me Dalton Schultz. Yeah.
I got one
no
more name.
To Michael Mayer.
No, it's not at all. one more name, Foster Moreau. I think he's the second best tight end currently available. Played a lot for the Raiders after the last couple of years when Darren Waller's been out. Super athletic, pretty good blocker. I think he's just starting to come into his own. Where would you like to see him land?
Like, honestly, part of me wonders, like, is there a chance he goes back to the Raiders? After having traded away Darren Waller, you don't think so?
I do think so. And actually, that's not a bad fit.
Like, I think we've seen him perform pretty well, right? Like, I think I liked him a lot, coming out of college. And I don't know. I kind of just want to see him go back to the Raiders where, I don't know, we've seen some production, right? Like, so he's played 14 games in his career without Darren Waller, averaged almost 8 PPR points per game. Over the last 2 seasons, let's see what those. Yeah, still almost 8 PPR points per game.
It's not great.
It's not great, but hell, that's a tight end one, Marcus. Like
the good thing about these tight ends is typically at age 25, 26 is when they do start to break out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's right where we're at with Foster Moreau, and he does have the athleticism, and according to PFF, like 98th percentile in yards after the catch per reception. There is a lot to like about him here.
Yeah, I'd like to see him go back with the Raiders. Like, we know exactly what Jimmy Garoppolo delivers. Like, it's I think something that works perfectly well with Foster Moreau's skill set. Obviously, you have, you know, plenty of playmakers there at this point, but I feel it would be unwise if the Raiders didn't go back to the well, especially after trading away Darren Waller.
All right, that is it for today's show. Thank you for making Locked On Dynasty your first listen every day. Now make your second listen to Locked On NFL Scouting Show with the Draft Dudes. From free agency to the draft, salary cap management, and more, join NFL experts Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino as they take you through what it's like to build a successful NFL franchise every Monday through Friday. Find Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Go download the Locked On Dynasty podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Just check us out on YouTube. You can go follow Kate at Kate Magic on Twitter. I'm at Marcus _ Mosier. We'll be back on Monday to break down all of the free agency action over the weekend. And we'll see you guys then.